Hello, welcome back to Ask a Monk. Today I will be answering the question as to whether dreams have karmic potency, so whether they have the ability to give rise to ethical states. Do they have ethical implications in the sense that can they affect our lives and can they affect the world around us? Is it possible to perform Buddhist karma, you know, to make bad karma while you're asleep? And the answer, I think, is quite clearly yes. And it's important that we understand what we mean by karma. And this sort of helps us to understand what we mean by karma in Buddhism. Karma isn't an action that you do with the body or speech. It's something that arises in the mind. When you intend to do something, that's karma. So the only reason to say killing is wrong or stealing is wrong or is we call bad karma is because of the effect that such things have on our mind and the mental aspect of the act, that your mind is building up the tendency to be angry or greedy or corrupt. So in that sense, because dreams are tend to be ethically charged, so we give rise to these same states in our mind of greed and anger, delusion, they can all arise in our mind. Quite clearly there are ethical implications. Now, I want to talk about a few things here, so I'm going to try to keep them in a clear order. The first thing I should talk about is what we understand dreams to be in Buddhism. So what are we talking about? We have a description of the different kinds of dreams in one of the old Buddhist texts, the Questions of King Milinda, or the Milinda Panha. In that text, it's mentioned that there are six types of dreams. And so this will help us to understand what exactly we mean by dreams and exactly how relevant they are to our practice and so on. Because I also want to talk about how we should approach dreams and what it means in terms of our practice. So there are six kinds. The first three are physical: wind, bile, phlegm, and you know this is just based on the medical terminology that they would use in the time of the Buddha or in ancient India. So basically, it means a disruption in the body. You know, there's something. You know, maybe you eat bad food, or maybe your body is out of order. You have a sickness, or so on. That can easily give rise to dreams. And the other three are some external influence, which could be a person around you, it could be spirits, it could be angels, and so on. I mean, I think what they're talking about is angels, but actually, if you think about it, we don't even have to go so far. You know, if someone starts whispering in your ear where you're sleeping, or if you hear noises, you know, if you've ever had it that something's going on around you and you start dreaming about, you know, that something based on the sound that you hear. Or, you know, if it gets hot, that can affect your state of mind and so on, and can cause you to dream. The fifth is something from the past, and the sixth is something from the future. This is where it gets interesting. And so, some people have visions of things in their dreams. Can be from the past in this life. Sometimes people are suspicious that it's something from their past lives. But let's just say something in the past in this life, because that's really obvious. Memories that we've had, things that we keep in our minds can cause us to dream. But the sixth one is considered to be important. It's worth noting that only the sixth is considered to be important in terms of actually paying some kind of attention to it. The sixth kind is something from the future. And some people may not even believe this, but other people will be, you know, emphatic that this sort of thing happens to them, where they'll dream something and then it happens. You know, suddenly it comes in their life. People can even have this in meditation. But it's possible that something from the future can cause a dream, something that's about to happen. And you could understand this in different ways. It could be simply because of the power of what's going to happen. Because we consider that the universe is you know, much more than we can see and experience normally. So So there are a lot of forces that are at work potentially, and those forces can be experienced if you know about how animals are able to predict the weather and are able to predict disasters, like before the tsunami in Asia. They say that the elephants all ran in land, like they knew it was going to come. And so on, just kind of the forces of nature that we're not able to sense in our normal state. Because actually, when you're sleeping, let's talk a little bit about what exactly dreams are. So these are the six sources of dreams. But what's happening in the dream state is your mind is not asleep and is not awake. This is what we know in science as well. But from a meditative point of view, there's still a great amount of concentration, but there's no mindfulness. So you're not really in control, obviously, as for most of us, unless you train yourself, because there are actually people who train themselves in dreams. And I'm not going to teach you to do this. This isn't what I teach. I just want to help people to understand this so we can move on and continue with our meditation, because this will interrupt your life and you wonder, well, people do wonder, well, what is the significance of dreams? Most dreams are not significant because, as I said, you're in this state and you can be easily influenced by things because you don't have the ability to judge, to discriminate, and to catch yourself. And so you easily slip into illusion and fantasy. But there are certain dreams that are affected by the future. And this is what leads people, I think, to... This and the dreams about the past is what leads people to put significance in dreams. So they might experience a dream that they feel has some significance and that should be explored and has some meaning and importance, you know, based on the past and something they might be repressing and so on. Or they might feel that, you know, they have some dream and then it sort of comes true in the future. And so as a result, they feel that dreams have great significance. Psychotherapists and Freud and Jung put great emphasis on dreams and the importance of them. I want to say that we shouldn't put great importance on our dreams. And this comes back to the idea of whether you can create karma. As I said, there are karmic states that arise. And so you are potentially creating more karma. But the point is that you can't really control that. You can't say, I'm not going to create karma. Or, you know, you can't say stop. You can't stop yourself from giving rise to fear or fear for nightmares or anger or attachment and lust and so on. So it's much more useful. What I think dreams are really useful for is for understanding our mind state. And we should never take the whole of the dream as somehow significant, even if it means something for the future or it has the potential to be a prediction foretelling the future, or even if it comes from some repressed state that we have in the past. The point is that you're in a state where the mind is not connected. It's not functioning in a logical manner. So it's going to make connections between things that otherwise don't have connections. So maybe part of it comes from the fact that, you know, you had some traumatic experience in the past, but part of it, you know, just comes from your mind's the chaos in the mind and the nature of the mind to dream and to imagine. Likewise, you might remember, think of something in the future, or you might have the ability to see what's going to happen in the future, but it becomes distorted. It is distorted by the mind. It's the same as when you go on a hallucinogenic drug and you might have visions of angels, deities, and all sorts of spiritual things. And so you think that this is, you know, the truth and something that you're seeing, something that we can't normally see, but it's also the brain that, you know, is creating, is imagining, is hallucinating. So whether part of it is real and whether it is sending the mind off into a dimension that can see things that we otherwise couldn't see, it's also, you know, it's also the brain, and it's also doing all sorts of crazy things. I think if you look carefully, you'll see that this is true with dreams, and that they shouldn't be trusted. And also, I think in the sense of whether you can create karma or the karma that you're creating, because Well, for one thing, the karma is not going to be strong because you don't really intend to do this or that in your dreams. You just kind of get angry or worried or, you know, afraid in the case of nightmares, or have lust in the case of lustful dreams. But you don't really have the strong intention because your mind is not clear. Your mind doesn't have the will or the awareness or the mindfulness, which is able to make decisions clearly. So it's going to be weak karma, for one thing. And also, for another thing, is you're all mixed up. There's many states that are mixed up, and as I said, connections can be made in an illogical manner, and therefore you have all these crazy dreams. So what we should use dreams for is to be able to judge our mind state, because what's good about them is you don't have this control. You aren't covering things up. Because there's no control, you're able to see many things about yourself that you wouldn't otherwise see. And this isn't the content of the dream, but it's the quality of the dream. So if you have a dream that's based on anger, if you have a dream that's based on fear, nightmares, if you have a dream that's based on lust, or so on, this shows you what's in your mind, and often in a way that you otherwise wouldn't be able to see. So people who are otherwise calm and controlled might find themselves suddenly having nightmares, and so they think something is wrong. Well, the truth is, this is you seeing something deep down that you're repressing. Because we're only able to repress things in our daily life by force of will, by actually some sort of mindfulness, and the ability to choose not to follow, which we don't have when we're dreaming, when we're asleep. So, in that sense, I would say that really the only thing that we should do with dreams is use them to see where we have work to do, and to help us to understand how our mind works. Don't take the content of the dream as important. This is a big mistake, because you don't know where it's coming from. It could be coming simply because you had bad food. It could be coming from the way your body, the way your brain is functioning, the chemicals and whatever substances you've been taking, the different foods that don't react well, and so on. It could be coming partly from your past. It could be coming from the future. It could be coming from external influences, sounds that you hear. Or even angels, this is what they say, there could be spirits around, and because you have strong concentration, you're put into a state where you might be able to, similar to meditation, where people practice meditation, go into great states of concentration, and are able to see and hear and experience things that we can't otherwise. So it can come from all sorts of different sources, and it's not nearly as reliable as a meditation, for example, in any way. You know, if you want to predict the future, go and practice meditation. If you want to understand about your past and what sort of things you're repressing, you'll practice meditation. If you want to see angels and spirits and so on, practice meditation. There are different meditations for this. But as I said, when you're asleep, when you're dreaming, you know, your dreams will show you something about yourself, about how your mind works. Because, as I'm told, a perfectly enlightened person, a person who has done away with all of their mental defilements, won't dream. When they sleep soundly, and they sleep mindfully. So actually, there's some sort of clarity of mind during the sleep, and when they wake up, they're fully refreshed and rested. But irregardless, it's just important that, like anything, we don't follow them and we don't project on them. A dream is what it is. You had that experience in your dream. It doesn't mean that it's going to happen in the future, or that somehow it has some special significance, or someone's trying to tell you something, or so on. Even if it's an angel or a spirit trying to tell you something, or even your mind trying to tell you something, that doesn't mean you should follow it, because the source of the dream may still be full of delusion and misunderstanding as well, and lead you on the wrong path. So dreams can be karmic, and that's maybe the last thing that I would say, is that this is should be a caution for us, that we can't always control our minds in states like dream, but even in our waking states, dreams are just another reason for us to work on our mind, because otherwise, we're going to, when we fall asleep, we're going to dream. And what we mean by creating karma, even when we dream, is that we're building up the tendency to act in that way. So the dreams are reinforcing these emotions, reinforcing our fear, reinforcing our stress, reinforcing our anger, reinforcing our lust, reinforcing the states that we're trying to do away with. So They can anyway. You can also have positive dreams where you have love and kindness towards other beings. It's possible, but generally you'll see the things you're clinging to when you dream, and so it's an example of what we have to get rid of, and it's also a reason for us to in a sense be concerned and take our meditation seriously, because otherwise, you know, this is the opposite of meditating, where you're not mindful. You will develop these states, and they will become more pronounced. So I hope that helps and answers the question. Thank you for tuning in once again. This has been another episode of Ask a Monk. This is the first time using this new microphone, so I've got a microphone. I hope it works. I can sit further away from the camera and let you see more than just my face. So thanks for tuning in. All the best.